morning, everyone. I will call the meeting to order for Civilon Data Practices on March 22nd. May I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Representative Zerwas moves approval of the minutes for March 17th. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the minutes of March 17th are approved. The first item we have this morning, folks, is House File 2866. Welcome to the committee, Representative McNamara. Do I have someone that would like to move the McNamara bill? Representative Hoppe moves House File 2866 be referred to Government Operations, to the Government Operations Committee. We will be addressing this morning just the civil law portions of the bill only. And go ahead, Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have with me, and I'll let the DNR identify themselves. Go ahead, so that you know who's here.
Good morning. Welcome to the committee.
We thought Commissioner Meyer was going to be here, and he's not.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Ann Pierce. I'm Section Manager with Ecological and Water Resources for the DNR.
And, Madam Chair, if it's all right, did the bill get moved and being sent on to Environment Policy and Finance Committee?
Representative McNamara, the bill has been moved and it's going to GovOps next, I believe, for the rulemaking portion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I forgot that. So why don't we proceed and we'll explain what the implications are for Section 12 and 13.
Go for it.
So Section 12 and 13 would specify civil penalties for certain aquatic invasive species violators that currently default to a criminal penalties, and this would just add so we could have a civil penalty in there.
Okay, great. Thank you. Are there any member questions? Seeing none. Anyone else? Oh, Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair, I just want to re-verify some answers that I received when it was in this section was in public safety on the bill.
Sure.
As far as for enforcement purposes, when it's changing from a criminal offense to a civil offense, is this going to allow, instead of law enforcement or the DNR conservation officers writing the citations, to allow non-licensed officers to write the citations for these civil offenses?
Ms. Pierce?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This would still only allow peace officers to write the citation.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other member questions? Seeing none, is there anyone else in the audience wishing to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none, Representative Hoppe renews his motion that House File 2866 be referred to the Government Operations Committee. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. You are on your way to GovOps, Representative McNamara. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Have a great day.
You too. Representative Hoppe, you are up next. House File 1586. Representative Hoppe, would you like to move your bill? And it is going to the General Register.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move House File 1586 and have it re-referred to the General Register. House File 1586, Madam Chair and members, is referred to as the patent trolling bill. And this was introduced last year, and we let the various parties got together and I think worked out every possible objection to it. As far as I know, there's no one that's opposed to this bill right now. And with that, I'll introduce Ms. Rice to give you the particulars.
Welcome, Ms. Rice. Go ahead and state your name for the tape and continue on with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. My name is Tess Rice. I'm General Counsel for the Minnesota Bankers Association. The MBA represents about 95% of the banks in Minnesota, from the largest to the very smallest. Some of our members became concerned about patent trolls a couple years ago when they saw lawsuits being initiated against small businesses in Minnesota. This bill is targeted at patent assertion entities or patent trolls, and those are businesses that acquire patents with no intention of actually producing anything with the technology. They use it to sue companies alleging that they're infringing a patent that they own. So, for example, in Minnesota a couple of years ago, hundreds of small businesses were targeted by an East Coast patent assertion entity claiming that the scanners that small businesses were using had a piece of technology in them for which they had a patent. And so they demanded that those businesses pay a licensing fee of $1,000 or $2,000 for every employee using that scanner. Congress hasn't provided a legislative solution. This should be a federal issue, but because Congress hasn't been able to get a bill passed, there are 28 states so far across the country that have passed bills aimed at patent assertion entities and the demand letter that they send. So this doesn't involve anything with patent litigation, which is at the federal level. This only applies to that letter that is sent to an end user. So someone using the technology with no intent to do anything but just use it in their business. We worked on a bill last year and then over the session, and we came up with language that everybody agreed on. The stakeholders that we worked with include Medical Alley and their members, 3M, the Minnesota Credit Union Network, and there are a lot of other business groups that support it, like the Minnesota Association of Realtors and CPAs. And we worked really hard to tailor this bill so that we don't interfere with businesses with legitimate patents, businesses dealing with each other. This really only addresses those demand letters if they're sent in bad faith to the end users of a product. So a bad faith claim would be one where they falsely state that they're filing a lawsuit. Maybe they don't have the right to even enforce that patent. The patent's already been held unenforceable by a court. The patent's expired. Or they don't send enough information, and this is typical, to even know what product you're using that they have a patent on. So this bill would authorize the Attorney General to investigate bad faith claims of patent infringement and bring an action in court to enjoin a violator and seek penalties and reimbursement and restitution for bad faith patent infringement claims. But it does not create a private cause of action. So again, it's very narrowly tailored. It only addresses those letters sent to end users of a technology, and it should not have any impact on legitimate patent holders.
Any member questions? Representative Lesh.
Thank you. In your initial statements, you commented about outfits that are buying these patents and then with no intention of using them and then extorting money out of businesses. But if they met all the criteria in Subdivision 2, it would still not affect them, right? If they were being patent trolls but still followed all the rules, there's no way that we could prove that they never actually intended to develop the product that is the subject of the patent. Is that right?
Ms. Rice?
Madam Chair, Representative Lesh, I think that is correct. I mean, we can't do everything here. I mean, sometimes they have a legitimate patent and they're trying to enforce it on end users, and there's really nothing that we can do about that. But we don't know if they really intend to take them to court, is what you're saying, or not.
Well, I guess what my question is, if they had to jump through all the hoops as required by this bill, then it would seriously affect any business model that was constructed not in good faith, right? I'm assuming what this bill does, it makes it less likely that people would actually engage in this, although it's still possible. Is that correct?
Ms. Rice?
Madam Chair, Representative Lesh, that's correct. We're just trying to make it more difficult and make it clear that our state shouldn't be a target. We didn't want to be one of the few states that doesn't pass something so that Minnesota would be a target.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member questions? Seeing none, anyone in the audience wishing to testify for or against this bill? Seeing no one, Representative Hoppe renews his motion that House File 1586 be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The motion carries. House File 1586 is on its way to the General Register. Representative Zerwas. Representative Zerwas, would you like to move Senate File 107?
Madam Chair, members, I'll move Senate File 107 be re-referred back to the General Register.
Right, folks, this is another bill that was on the General Register last year, and pursuant to Rule 4.20, all bills on the General Register from last session are sent back to the committee they were last in. This is just a procedural motion to get Senate File 107 back on the General Register. So it is before our committee, and go ahead, Representative Zerwas.
Madam Chair, I do have one oral amendment for the for the effective date on the last line. It would need to be amended to January 1st, 2017.
Okay. Representative Zerwas has made an oral amendment just changing the effective date, I'm assuming.
Correct.
And you said that was to January?
January 1st, 2017, please.
January 1st, 2017. Any discussion on that amendment? All those in favor of the oral amendment to change the effective date on line 4.14 to January 1st of 2017, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Representative Zerwas, to your bill.
Madam Chair, this bill has been heard in this committee before, and it made it to the floor, and now we just need to get back there and hopefully have time to take action on the floor.
Very good. Any member questions? Seeing none, is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify for or against this bill? Seeing no one, Representative Zerwas renews his motion that Senate File 107 be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The bill moves back to the General Register. Our next bill is House File 2641, Representative Smith. Representative Smith, would you like to move your bill?
So moved.
House File 2641 has been moved and is before us, and the recommendation is that be re-referred to the General Register. To your bill, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. This bill seeks to modify the 2009 debt settlement law by protecting consumers from tax debt settlement scams. It closes a loophole that allows tax debt settlement providers from operating outside of Minnesota law that govern credit card and medical debt settlement providers. This bill is supported by the Minnesota Chamber, the State Bar Association, the Bankers Association, the Credit Union, the Community Bankers, and the Society of Certified Public Accountants. I have Mr. Elwood to give some additional detail, Madam
Great.
Chair.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Elwood. Go ahead and state your name for the tape, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Ron Elwood with Legal Aid. I want to thank Representative Smith for carrying this bill. Debt settlement service providers offer for a fee to negotiate with creditors on behalf of consumers for a cents on the dollar settlement of their debts. And in 2009, as Representative Smith mentioned, this legislature passed a comprehensive law that set up rules of the road for this industry to allow legitimate businesses to operate while curbing some of the rampant scams that were happening at the time. You may be seen ads on TV lately that say if you owe money to the IRS, we'll cut your debt in half, we'll negotiate on your behalf. Well, these tax debt settlement providers are simply not covered by the existing law, and what this bill does simply is to amend the definition of creditor to include state or federal government or political subdivisions, and amend the definition of debt settlement services to include the settlement of tax debts. In addition, House File 2641 provides that any court action taken by either side, either party, must be taken here in Minnesota courts. Happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you, Mr. Elwood. Any member questions? Seeing none, is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify for or against this bill? Seeing no one. Smooth sailing, Representative Smith. Representative Smith renews his motion that House File 2641 be referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. House File 2641 is on its way to the General Register. Since we're moving so quickly, Representative Loon wasn't going to be here till 9:30 to present her bill, and so in her stead, Representative Hoppe is going to move. What do we have here?
House File
2954. Go ahead, Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members, I will move House File 2954 and recommend that it be re-referred to
the General Register.
The General Register. That's what
Thank
I was
you.
Just about to say. Thank you, Madam Chair. this is Representative Loon's bill, and I have Ms. Backus here from the auto dealers to explain it. But essentially what we're doing is trying to protect Minnesota dealerships from getting charged back too much or other penalties that will be addressed if they inadvertently sell a vehicle that winds up getting exported to be sold for a lot more money in Canada or somewhere.
Right.
Probably not Canada. That was a joke. With that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Backus.
We didn't catch that joke. I'm sorry.
That's early.
It's early.
Ms. Backus, go ahead and introduce yourself for the tape, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Amber Backus, and I'm with the Minnesota Automobile Dealers Association and represent us 363 new car and franchise truck dealers across the state of Minnesota. And we are appreciative that this bill has been brought forward. Our dealers are caught in a situation where they may sell a vehicle to a customer who then turns around and sells it for export because there's a very lucrative secondary market to sell vehicles and ship them abroad, and customers abroad can save significant dollars over what they'd be paying in their country of origin, be it China or Russia, not necessarily Canada. So this bill would prevent the manufacturers from taking adverse action against the dealers if a vehicle was sold and the dealer had no way to know or reasonably know that that vehicle was going to be ending up resold for export. I should mention, I'm not sure that members have the engrossed version in their packets, but there were some changes made in the House Commerce Committee to change the evidentiary standard for the rebuttable presumption from clear and convincing to just a preponderance of the evidence, which is the typical standard in civil cases. So not sure if you have that language in front of you or not. But there is no opposition that I know of at this time. With the amendments we made in House Commerce, the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers are neutral on the bill, and Ms. Niren is here and could provide some comments too, but we would appreciate your support of this initiative to protect our dealers from being penalized for the behavior of their customers over which they have no control.
Okay, wonderful. Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess, I think we do have just the original. I don't know that we have the latest engrossment in our packets. I'm bringing up my system here. But
right, we are working on that.
Thank you.
Getting the first engrossment. Thank you for that. Ms. Nierens, go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Sandy Niren. I'm here on behalf of the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers, which is a trade association of the 12 largest car manufacturers in the world. And we want to thank the auto dealers and the author for sharing this language with us before session started. We were able to work out a compromise on the language, which did pass Commerce Committee with no controversy. It does appear as what was handed out here is the original bill and not the compromise language, so hopefully that can be brought forward. But we are fine with this bill. We are neutral, as Ms. Becca said, and we have no objection to the bill as amended.
I understand that we can't vote until we get that engrossed version in front of us, so we were going to think of some good questions. Representative Lesh.
Madam Chair, I'm okay with sending it through without the right number on it. I think we should just do that. But I had a question related to the subject matter of it. When this prohibits manufacturers from penalizing dealers, how in the world can this state law pass the constitutional muster under the Commerce Clause? It would seem that this is squarely in the purview of Congress to regulate relationships between dealers and manufacturers like this when the products are in the stream of interstate commerce.
Ms. Backus?
Madam Chair and Representative Lesh, actually Minnesota Statute 80E is the Motor Vehicle Franchise Protection Statute, which lays out the terms of engagement and the rules between the manufacturers and the dealers. We already have other provisions in this law that regulate their behavior. This is another one. And again, this is about the action of the manufacturers against the dealers, not really the impact on interstate commerce. It is prohibited for our dealers to export new vehicles already.
Representative Lesh, follow up.
So the answer is because we've been doing it the whole time.
Ms. Backus.
Yes. Which, that's fine if that's the case. Okay.
Okay.
That's fine, Madam Chair.
Other member questions?
Good question.
All right. I understand that we cannot move the bill. According to House research, we can't do anything until we have the proper bill before us. So we will take a temporary recess until we... All right, folks. I will call the meeting back to order. We now have the correct engrossment of House File 2954 before us. Was there any other member questions? Anyone in the audience wishing to testify for or against this bill? Seeing no one. Thank you for your patience, folks. Representative Hoppe renews his motion that House File 2954 be passed and re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. House File 29, 2594 is re-referred to the general register. Folks, that concludes.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Folks, that concludes our meeting today. We will see you Thursday. We adjourn.